Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, according to a PwC survey, one of the largest studies of the global workforce, in fact, the pandemic has accelerated digital upskilling, but key groups are being left out. Over 60% of those surveyed feel their jobs are at risk thanks to automation, and almost half feel long-term employment won't be around in the future. But there must be some optimistic sentiment out there, or is there? For more insights, we speak to Martin Schouten, Workforce Transformation Leader at PwC Southeast Asia Consulting. Martin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
Let's start with which groups are being missed out by that accelerated digital upskilling and why they're being missed out.
A worrying 62% of respondents to a survey indicated that they do feel looked out, overlooked when it comes to upskilling opportunities. And these respondents have indicated, amongst others, age, care responsibilities, and gender as a basis for feeling overlooked. So the groups that we feel are being missed out are, for instance, older workers that want or need to work longer beyond their retirement, for instance, but want to enrich their current skill set or transition into new roles. But also those individuals that are balancing work from home with homeschooling and care for dependents and struggle with adding upskilling and reskilling to that delicate balance as well. And then lastly, women, who according to the Women in Work Index are losing their job at a faster pace than men as a result of COVID-19 and job displacement.
What's being done, though, to reach out to these groups or to help these groups, if you will?
There is quite some government support to help with reskilling and upskilling, specifically for older workers. So, for instance, we see that there's top-ups of skills future credit for older workers and further incentives to hire, redeploy workers in their 50s and their 60s. But incentives from the government alone are not enough to combat these issues around inequality when it comes to upskilling and reskilling. And inclusion and transparency will need to be translated into the workplace in the form of equal opportunities for everybody. So we make sure that nobody is left behind when it comes to upskilling and reskilling. But this requires a mindset shift of employers and workers, but also revisiting policies and work environments to accommodate all groups to upskill and reskill.
What were some of the other findings of note, Martin, and the implications of them? This was one of the largest studies of the global workforce, yes?
That is correct. It is the largest. Three interesting findings, if you ask me, where we see a slightly different perspective of our Singaporean respondents as compared to the global results. And first of all, around the appetite to upskill. So 81% of Singaporean respondents are ready to learn new skills. And this is more or less in line with the respondents across the globe. But what we see is that more Singaporean respondents believe it's their own accountability to upgrade their skills rather than relying on their employer, which was a lot lower if you look at global numbers. Another interesting finding is that only 4% of Singaporean respondents want to go back to the office full time. And globally, we see that this number is approximately 10%. So still low. And it indicates that across the globe, people don't really want to go back to the office full time. But the 4% of Singaporean respondents shows that Singaporeans really don't want to go back sitting in the office all day. And maybe lastly, we see that 50% of Singaporean respondents believe that technology could actually make their jobs obsolete in the next 5 years. And this is actually a lot more than the 39% of respondents across the globe. So maybe to wrap it up, you know, implications, and we see a workforce that's willing to upskill. They see the urgency, but would like to see more equal opportunities to do so. And while dealing with the complexities of working remote and working from home, they do see an opportunity in a hybrid and flex working that they don't want to give up by returning to the office. And while optimistic, we see a workforce that still feels anxiety about the future of their own roles and their own jobs.
Why do you think there's such a difference, though, between, say, what's happening in Singapore, how workers in Singapore feel versus their global counterparts? Because, say, for example, 50% of Singaporean workers feel tech will make their jobs obsolete. That's much higher than the global finding.
Yeah, well, Howie, I think a lot has to do with the fact that Singapore is obviously pushing very hard for being a smart nation. And we see that industries and sectors are driving digital transformation very quickly. Probably more so than when we look at our neighboring countries. And I think that this phenomenon is obviously causing jobs to be disrupted at a faster pace than some of the countries around us.
What about the few percentage of Singapore workers who want to go back to work versus the global counterparts? It makes us sound as if we're very isolated and hermit type people, since we don't want to go back and collaborate with our colleagues.
Well, I would say maybe slightly look at it slightly differently. I think that there's always been a very traditional sense of work belongs in the office. And we've all accepted that's a very traditional way of work happens in front of your bosses, with your co-workers. And what I can imagine is that Singaporeans have really accepted and appreciated the fact that there is now a lot more opportunity to work wherever you want to work from. And I think it's that level of flexibility and freedom that people maybe don't necessarily want to give up.
We're speaking with Martin Schouten, Workforce Transformation Leader at PwC Southeast Asia Consulting. Martin, what about some other major shifts and trends that can be seen from the findings, aside from the work from home phenomenon, which we're all familiar with now?
Yeah, I already sort of touched upon it briefly. It's the digital transformation that has been accelerated by COVID-19 over the last 16 months. And that trend is far from over. And so we conducted a study recently that shows that 48% of Singaporean CEOs are planning double-digit increases in digital transformation investments. And now this will have significant implications in the roles and the skills required to pull that off. But we are starting to see a lot more demand for tech roles, cyber roles, etc. And obviously, that increase in investment in technology has a flip side as well. And we saw that 55% of Singaporean CEOs have indicated that they want to focus on enhancing productivity through further automation, which will impact existing roles and jobs. And we will see roles being augmented or entirely being displaced by technology, which will subsequently disrupt jobs. And the other trends that I think we need to sort of keep at a sort of forefront is how COVID-19 has exposed and exacerbated social inequality. And that is calling for organizations to take more accountability for the impact that they make on society and environment. And so focus on sustainable outcomes will have a tremendous impact on how organizations view themselves from a purpose and values perspective, structure themselves, but also deliver their products and services. And it is like we see, for instance, that 75% of employees are indicating that they want to work for an organization that makes a positive contribution on society. And it's very interesting, these type of findings. And maybe the last one to call out, Howie, is the need for trust and transparency. And what we've seen is that, again, fueled by COVID-19, this debate kickstarted about, are employees still productive and engaged if they're not working in the office? And there's no simple answer to this question, but it has surfaced a deeper need to understand individual circumstances better and demonstrate empathy and support in bringing the best out of employees, and no matter where they work. And employees are expecting that level of understanding, and it puts a new kind of pressure on people leaders that need to demonstrate that understanding and work with their people to get the best out of them.
How can businesses prepare for these major shifts, though, and employees as well? It sounds like there's a lot to think about, plus your bottom line, plus revenue growth, plus expansion, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Never a dull moment in that respect. Yeah. I think first and foremost, there is a need to have an open dialogue and really inclusive conversations about how we build a more diverse and purpose at workplace. And that requires engaging your workforce on an ongoing basis, really sit down with them and understand their needs, hopes, fears, aspirations. And that will be a first step towards creating that trust and understanding and equality. And I think when it comes to the technology side, embrace it. There's no two ways about it. Technology and digital transformation are here to stay. And creating digital upskilling opportunities is absolutely a no-regret move. Everybody should be able to have those opportunities. And lastly, it's also collectively shifting our mindsets when it comes to jobs and roles. And we can't protect jobs, which are made redundant, but we do have a responsibility to our people. So we need to work through how we protect people, not jobs. And this requires, for instance, nurturing agility, adaptability, and reskilling, and really think bold about these reskilling pathways, for instance.
If you had to say there was a priority, what would it be for businesses and also for employees, Martin?
I really think it is accelerating sort of upskilling specifically on digital skills. And that's what we see, that a lot of organizations are starting to realize that there's no point in waiting. You just have to kickstart and give people the opportunity to learn new digital skills. For me, that would be the main priority.
And in your opinion, Martin, what do you think the future of work will look like?
You know, I'm hopeful when it comes to the future of work. And the changes that are impacting us are irreversible. So we have nothing but to do than accept it and embrace it. And I think that there's always a silver lining in these type of situations. And for me, the silver lining is also the opportunity we have to shape what the future is going to look like. And I think we have an amazing opportunity to build greater trust between ourselves and bridge divides that are existing. And as long as we engage in an open dialogue about what the future of work is looking like.
Martin, thank you so much for your insights today, and please stay safe.
Thank you, and you.
Martin Schouten, Workforce Transformation Leader, PwC Southeast Asia Consulting. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.